In Washington last evening, a light snow began to fall as tens of thousands of celebrants donned formal attire to head out for inaugural balls. Their rented limos clogged the Capitol streets. Men in Stetson hats and cowboy boots stood in slush to flag a rare empty taxi. Officially sanctioned celebrations were not the only festivities in town. Untold private parties were held to celebrate, and in some cases protest, the inauguration of George W. Bush. NPR's Melissa Block joined the partygoers and filed this report.
Neither rain nor snow nor sleet nor gloom of night could keep the mink-coated, stiletto-heeled, cleavage-bearing celebrants and their tuxedoed escorts from their appointed rounds. Everywhere, drivers hopped out of sleek, stretch limousines to disgorge their precious cargo.
Miss Helen, you okay?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Can I help you?
Yes. Thank you, darling.
I'll be running somewhere. Just call me.
Okay, I'll call you when we need you.
Each state has a ball, although many states' parties were combined. 16 states, from Rhode Island to Hawaii, had to share space at the D.C. Armory, but the elegant National Building Museum, illuminated in turquoise and purple, was reserved for one state only. And guess which one? Not Texas.
Florida's lucky enough to have this wonderful and beautiful building all to itself.
Now, how do you think you got that wonderful and beautiful
building? I don't know. Maybe a dimpled Chad chose it for us.
That's Wiley Deck from Orlando. Outside the museum, four searchlights swept the sky as if to say, yes, right here, it's us, we did it. Jerry Francis says Floridians have been the toast of the town during the inaugural fest.
It feels great to be a Floridian. Everybody stops us on the elevator even and says, oh, you're from Florida, thank you so much. We really appreciate you guys. You want to get in first? It was great. They've been good to us.
And in this crowd, the greatest heroine of all is Florida's Secretary of State, Katherine Harris, who certified Florida's vote, making George W. Bush the president-elect. Harris was a star at the Florida Ball, where host Larry Gatlin introduced her with these words. In France, it was Joan of Arc. In the Crimea, it was Florence Nightingale. In the Deep South, there was Rosa Parks. In India, there was Mother Teresa. And in Florida, there was Katherine Harris.
Reminds me of the girl I love.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeehaw!
Washington's Cavernous Convention Center was home for the joint Texas and Wyoming Ball.
Hello! Welcome to the Blue Ball. Welcome. Good evening. How are you?
Hi, hello.
Welcome.
What is your name?
Greeter Jewel Wood only sounds like she knows these people. She's just very good at her job, shaking hands tirelessly with everyone getting on the escalator up to the ballroom.
Looks like $1 million.
Here's what a $125 ticket gets you at the Texas-Wyoming Ball. Some cheese and crackers, a ham sandwich, maybe some watermelon if they haven't run out. You pay extra for drinks, and you get to hear inspirational talk from former designing woman Dixie Carter, the celebrity MC.
We're going to have to be sunbeams for President George Walker Bush.
But despite all this, wild Texas stallions couldn't have kept David and Kathy Fuller away. They live in Virginia. They couldn't get tickets through regular channels, but they knew they had to come. So they went to a ticket broker and paid
$8.50 each.
$1,700 to stand in the convention center and eat bad cheese.
I mean, it is a lot of money, but I think already it's just to see so many people energized and excited about the future. I think it's well worth it.
And we're not wealthy.
I mean, this was expensive for us to pay this money.
But he knew if he wanted to continue to live with me, we were coming to the party tonight.
Paige Whitman from Beaumont, Texas, dressed in black velvet and red taffeta, has great expectations for the next 4 years.
I feel overwhelmed with inspiration and hope. We've got the man. I think people that don't have a lot of expectations for George W. are going to be truly surprised by what he's got in store.
Just before 10 o'clock, Hail to the Chief signaled the new president's arrival.
I'm looking forward to getting to work. There's a lot to be done. But before we start to work, there's some dancing to be done.
Now, President Bush readily admits he's no kind of dancer. Lousy, in fact. He danced at his wedding and at his two gubernatorial inaugurals, and that's about the extent of it.
I don't think I broke the 30-second mark in the dance with the First Lady. So today, in honor of becoming the president. I'm going to spend... My pledge is I'll spend more than 30 seconds dancing tonight.
As the band struck up Waltz Across Texas, the president gingerly led the first lady into, what was it exactly? Not a waltz, not a box step, only vaguely in time to the music. Halfway through, he made a show of looking at his watch. By my clock, he held out for 49 seconds. A few blocks away, at the National Museum of Women in the Arts, a swelligant crowd gathered at another inaugural party with far superior food.
Cheese quesadilla fondue, meant to be dipped. Cheese quesadillas. Spinach tort.
This bash was hosted by the Creative Coalition, which bills itself as the public advocacy arm of the entertainment industry. Bo Derek was there, actors Billy Baldwin and Lou Diamond Phillips, and Ron Reagan, son of the former president.
It embarrasses me, actually, slightly, that at the dawn of the 21st century, a country of the magnitude of the United States right now would nominate and then elect a man who really just has no business being in the Oval Office. But it's his night, and he is there, and he's going to be there for 4 years. Bush is still going to be president, you know. There's nothing we can do about that for another 4 years.
A short, snowy walk away, up four flights of graffiti-painted stairs, you'd come upon the shindig thrown by the Justice Action Movement, which organized protests around the inauguration. Here you'd find Elizabeth Croydon selling T-shirts that say, "Hail to the Thief."
The electoral process is flawed. And we need to band together in unity! Unity in the community!
By midnight, this party was just getting going. By that time, the president and first lady had already blitzed through all eight official inaugural balls and were home in the White House, more than an hour ahead of schedule. Melissa Block, NPR News, Washington.